For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pull up, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up on the
head. It's intercepted. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's got Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have found their new offensive coordinator. Former Kentucky and LA Rams offensive coordinator Liam Cohen is the man for the job. We are here today on an emergency episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast to break down the hire and everything you need to know about the newest member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coaching staff. Welcome back. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucsNation.com, Evan Wanish. Plain and simple, Evan, the Bucs go out, they get their guy. Some people were nervous because all of the people that they interviewed came to town, left town, ended up going somewhere else, and a lot of people were asking questions. But before we had too much time to ask any more questions, the Buccaneers looking to make this hire official. It's not 100% a done deal, but it is being reported by Ian Rappaport that this should be the guy. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, and I understand people being worried a little bit, but look, it's now been 8 days since Dave Canales took the Carolina job. The Patriots just hired their offensive coordinator yesterday, and they haven't had a head coach for about 3 weeks. The Saints, still, they fired their offensive coordinator, I believe, the day after the season. They still don't have an offensive coordinator. So I understand fans, you know, getting a little worried. At the same time, though, it was only 8 days. I know it seemed like, I think it was worse that guys like Kellen Moore, Ken Dorsey, Zach Robinson, Alex Van Pelt, they were taking jobs elsewhere. I think that's what made people feel a little bit worse about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, the Bucs didn't get to interview Moore, Dorsey, or Robinson, but, you know, they might have felt that Van Pelt wasn't the right guy for the job, and Liam Cohen was. So at the end of the day, you know, it's their decision. Like you said, you know, they get their guy with obviously a Baker Mayfield connection. And that was a theme throughout the thing, right? They interviewed Alex Van Pelt, who was the Browns offensive coordinator when Baker was there. They interviewed Jake Peets, who was also with the Rams, and then Liam Cohen, who for a short period of time, very, very short period of time, but was with Baker Mayfield, so has some familiarity with Baker there. So, I do think that there's positives. There's obviously some unknowns, as he's never been a play caller. He has been in the NFL. He has been an offensive coordinator in the NFL, but obviously with the Rams, Sean McVay is that play caller. So we will see, you know, what type of system, what type of tendencies he has. I do think to be very similar to what Dave Canales brought to the table. Obviously, there's going to be differences, but we have to wait and see, you know, how things transpire here.
Yeah, just to catch you up on what he's been up to in recent years, Cohen ping-ponged between the University of Kentucky and the LA Rams the past several seasons. After 3 seasons under Sean McVay in Los Angeles from 2018 to 2020, he went to college as the Wildcats offensive coordinator in 2021. After a 1-year sabbatical, he returned to Los Angeles as the Rams OC in 2022. And then in 2023, he returned to Kentucky, pulling double duty as the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. His time with the Rams in 2022 should bode well for a reunion between the Bucs and quarterback Baker Mayfield. The signal caller spent 5 games in 2022 in LA under McVay and Cohen before inking a prove-it deal in Tampa in 2023, where he helped lead the Bucs to an NFC South title and postseason win. So there were some comments made this week by Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield as far as re-signing in Tampa, and he said, well, it's kind of a wait and see. You know, we ultimately want to see who this new play caller is going to be, and that's going to play a huge factor. And Evan, if there's anything that this hire tells me, I mean, we already had the assumption before that Baker Mayfield was going to be back as the Bucs starting quarterback in 2024, but this is a hire that 100% says, hey, we're going to go ahead and roll with Baker. We have the familiarity, a guy who's worked with him before. Let's see what happens. So now the Bucs find their new OC, have a couple of holes to fill on that coaching staff still. It'll be interesting to see if Cohen brings any guys with him. But at the end of the day, they find their guy, and things are looking better for that consistency you were hoping for in this 24 season.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, there was some thought of promoting Thad Lewis. The Bucs interviewed Thad Lewis. I think when Dave Canales took the Carolina job, a lot of people just assumed that it was going to be Thad Lewis. And I did, too. I thought he was going to be a leader in the clubhouse. But clearly, you know, they want to go outside the organization. And, there is some semblance of continuity here. And yeah, while the expectation was 100% that Baker Mayfield was going to be back, I think this all but confirms, or at least, you know, confirms that the Buccaneers definitely want Baker Mayfield back, I should say. Because at the end of the day, you know, if contract negotiations can always go sideways, right? If Baker comes in with this lopsided number, then the Bucs are like, whoa, you know, things can change quickly in the NFL, obviously. So, I would say this hire definitely signals that the Buccaneers are a team that expects Baker Mayfield to be their starting quarterback in 2024.
There was also some discourse about his departure from the Rams as their offensive coordinator at the end of that 2022 season. But let's not forget, that was the same year that, you know, Cooper Kupp goes down with injury. Matt Stafford ends up missing the rest of the season as their starting quarterback. Like, that was a Rams team.
They had to sign Baker Mayfield.
Correct.
Baker Mayfield got there on Tuesday, played Thursday. So that's how, like, the Rams were. And also, Liam Cohen was never fired from the Los Angeles Rams. So it was actually a thing where Sean McVay wasn't sure if he was going to continue coaching. So McVay basically told his staff, hey, if you guys get opportunities elsewhere, I'm not going to stop you. And Cohen had an opportunity to return to the University of Kentucky to be their offensive coordinator yet again, and he took it. So it wasn't like he got fired due to poor performance. He just sort of moved on. Now, I do want to highlight what he did at Kentucky, because he was the offensive coordinator there two separate times. Of course, you know, the offensive coordinator for Kentucky and the quarterbacks coach for Kentucky in 2021. That was when Will Levis was at Kentucky. So Kentucky's overall record was 10-3, and their points per game was 32.3, which ranked 36th out of 130 applicable people. Or teams, I should say. And then the next year that he was the offensive coordinator was 2023, this past season, where Kentucky didn't have as much talent. They went 7-6, and the points per game dropped to 29.1, which was good for 58th of 133. So, I do think, obviously, you look at the talent, you know, deficiency that Kentucky had, going from Will Levis to Devin Leary and a couple other guys that they missed. I do think that matters. I do like a tweet that John Leidert had actually just put out a few minutes ago. Basically said, you know, quote tweeting the thing, a little bit of an unknown as an NFL OC like Canales, because he didn't call plays in LA, but Levis played his best ball under Cohen. Baker likes him. System won't change a ton. His play action schemes in college have been cash. Reputation is strong from what I've heard, hard to not like it. So, I mean, there is some, you know, obviously John Ledyard, you know, knows a lot of ball, right? And, you know, so that's a pretty ringing endorsement there. And, you know, I do think there's obviously risk, right? Because this is a guy who's never called plays in the NFL before. But I do think there is some definite upside with Liam Cohen here.
Yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway, too, are going to be those similarities to the offense Dave Canales ran last year. Like, this isn't going to be a brand-new offense that he's bringing in, and it's not going to be a tall task for these guys to get adjusted to the new terminology and the new way of running things. He's been praised a lot of pre-snap motion. You just said high success rate on the play action, which is what the Bucs were getting better at doing under Dave Canales. Baker Mayfield was asked at Pro Bowl practice today his thoughts and opinions on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' new offensive coordinator. This audio comes from Pewter Report. Here's what Baker had to say.
With him for 1 year in LA.
Yeah, I think out of all, you know,
all the guys they interviewed, all the names that I saw, a lot of good options. But it's kind of hard. Don't understand how that thought process goes, but obviously got to work with Liam in L.A., great guy, really, really great guy. And so if they lock that down for sure, it's similar system, obviously the same system, just some different terminology and how he wants to call things. But yeah, and that, there's something to say about that with continuity within the offense for the skill guys, the offensive line, you know, so it's important to have them.
Have they reached out to them for 1 year?
Baker Mayfield, also a last-minute addition to the Pro Bowl games this weekend, finished as the top-performing quarterback in the precision passing competition last night, bringing home the win for the NFC side. But he seems to have a lot of positive things to say about Liam. And going back to my main point, the more consistency, the better on the offensive side of the ball. I think this is going to make it a hell of a lot easier to target and eventually sign these free agents that you still have to go get. Baker Mayfield still awaiting a deal. Mike Evans still awaiting a deal. It's going to be a lot easier for these guys to buy in if they know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, that's a big factor. You know, and I think Baker even said last night during the games or whatever that basically, you know, it depends. It sort of depends on, you know, who the offensive coordinator is, right? Now, you know, he didn't really know. So, I do think that definitely matters. And San Antogato in the chat says Canales never called plays before either till he got to Tampa. That's true. Canales was also a risk, though. You know, that risk paid off. So it's always risky. You know, some guys are Dave Canales. Byron Leftwich also didn't call plays either before he got to Tampa. So some guys are Dave Canales, some guys are Byron Leftwich. So it doesn't really, you know, it can go either way. It really can. So it still is a risk, you know, getting a guy who hasn't called plays. But, you know, I think I've actually said this on James's channel, you know, because we are talking about who they've interviewed and stuff. And I'm like, you got to start somewhere, right? These coaches, like they have to start somewhere. He has play calling experience, just not in the NFL. And I think that's a boost as well. And then Al Bundy also says in the chat, college stats don't matter unless you were an elite coach. That's largely true. Like there is no real correlation, you know, between college success and the NFL success. It just provides a little bit of context on, you know, the success that Kentucky's offense had with him. Now, I mean, I will say, here's the difference here. 2021, right? I mentioned 32.3 points per game, 36th, you know, of 130. 2023, 29.1 points per game, that's 58th. The year that Liam Cohen was with the Rams, 2022, Kentucky had 20.4 points per game, that was 112th. They went downhill. The year before Cohen got there, he was 21.8 points per game. That was 108th. So the 2 years that Cohen was there, they were both in the top 100. The first year he was there, they were in the top 40 of the nation. So clearly something right. And 2022 also, they still had Will Levis there too, and they were still struggling. So you know, I definitely think that's another feather in his cap as well. And we will see, you know, how things shake out.
Yeah, just to bring up that 2022 season with the Rams as well, when he was working with Sean McVay, the Rams were 3-8, and at one point he did end up calling plays for that offense. Sean McVay turned over play calling duties there at the tail end of the season. And again, I don't know how well it ultimately worked out because he ends up leaving, taking a job with Kentucky. And I remember there was a lot of discourse about his departure from LA because I think a lot of people were curious just what happened with that relationship, what ended up going wrong.
Well,
but again, at 3-8.
You kind of have to remember, this is a chance to call plays.
Yes.
Right? He wasn't going to consist. He probably wasn't getting that chance in 2023 with the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Like it's a place he's familiar with in Kentucky, and it's a place he can call plays. So it's more power event, essentially. Yeah.
When the Rams were 3-8, headed into Kansas City week 12, Sean McVay gave up play calling, handing off duties to Liam Cohen. McVay wanted to see if seeding control could ease some stress, and at 3-8, the Rams really had nothing to lose by trying it out. The Rams eventually lost that game to Kansas City 26-10, gaining just 198 total yards, their second lowest total of the season. Clearly, delegating play calling duties wasn't the answer, but context here is important. I said it before, I'll say it again. This was a depleted Rams team at the tail end of that 2022 season. Matt Stafford was already out for the season. Cooper Kupp was not playing. And if I remember correctly, their offensive line was pretty busted up as well. So trying to find anything at all to make happen on the offensive side of the ball, it was tough. And that's what made Baker's performance there at the tail end of the season all that much more impressive, because he was throwing to janitors out there and second and third string guys who really you didn't think were going to be playing at that point. So despite the effort to let Cohen call plays, Sean McVay realized that allowing someone else to handle the play calling was not the solution. Kevin DeMoff, the COO of the Rams, went on to say that he believes McVay's decision to let Cohen play calls made him, quote, even more miserable. So that doesn't sound super exciting, but again,
I just think that's Sean McVay's a football nut. So right, yeah. I just think he needs that, you know?
Yeah, we already mentioned, you know, three separate times that the Rams had nothing to lose. When you're 3-8 and you're about to play Kansas City on the road, it's a tough atmosphere. But they did give him a crack at calling play. So he has, I guess, four quarters of play calling experience in the NFL. But it is a risk, just like you said. Hopefully it is something that pays off like Dave Canales did last season. And Baker also said that, you know, Liam's not going to be quite as fiery as a guy like Dave Canales was, but he's really, really good at connecting with his players, and that's what you want the most. You want a coach that can come in here, establish important relationships with some of his best players on the offensive side of the ball, and then put those guys in the best position to succeed. And I think if you've got Baker Mayfield and especially Mike Evans coming back, that's going to be the perfect blueprint to figure out some even more folds in this offense that maybe we didn't get a chance to see under Canales in 2023.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know,
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The play action work, you know, if it translates, right? If it translates to what he had success with in college, because Baker, like historically, it was actually, I forget his exact numbers on play action this year, but it was actually down compared to his actually, you know, career. His career averages on play action. So I know Yee's in the chat. A few people have mentioned it. Yeah, we're talking about calling plays in the NFL. It's completely different. He has never been an NFL play caller. So his numbers with play action this year were actually worse than like what he normally is. He's normally much better with play action. So I'm curious to see, you know, if they try and you know, if they try and work that in a little bit more, get Baker a little bit better on play action, because I think that's, you know, ultimately, you know, where he thrives. And again, you know, this hire shows that they want to stay committed to the run game, right? That they want to sort of finish what they started with Dave Canales, right? And you're basically, it's almost like you're in the middle of a TV show season and you're almost near the finale and you have to replace one of the main characters. And it's not easy. Right, it's not going to be easy. At the end of the day, it is going to be somewhat of a new offense. Right, there's going to be a new voice in there. There's going to be some getting used to, for sure. But at the end of the day, you still want to get to that end goal, and I think that end goal is finding balance, finding an offense that is explosive, but also is a modern day offense that can run the football effectively. And we saw that glimpses of that this past season. And we will see if. Maybe during the beginning of the season, maybe it's not so good because you're kind of starting over a little bit with some different running schemes that you might have to get used to. But hopefully, you know, they can figure it out pretty quickly and the offense can get rolling a little bit quicker than it could with a guy like Dave Canales.
Yeah, I think the similarities in the scheme are going to help this offense not have to take 8 to 10 weeks to really find their rhythm. You hope within the first 5 weeks, like, yeah, there's going to be some growing pains. Do not get me wrong. This is the third time in 3 years the Bucs have a new offensive coordinator. So there's going to be some growing pains. But I think we've said it before, a guy like Baker Mayfield, he just needs stability. And, you know, from the Bucs point of view, this hire tells me we're going to try our best to give Baker that stability. And they believe in him for 2024. One more bit of information here. This is from Scott Reynolds over at Pewter Report. He says that my sources with the LA Rams say that Cohen is akin to Dave Canales in that he is, quote, happy, smiling, and intentive. I'm sorry, inventive is the word, not intentive. I'm sure he is intentive as well when he shows up to work. He was the Rams' first choice to replace Kevin O'Connell as the offensive coordinator in 2021, but he wanted to call plays, and head coach Sean McVay is LA's play caller. The hiring of Cohen checks a lot of boxes for the Bucs and what the team was looking for to run the offense. One of those being that Liam Cohen has worked with Buccaneers quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield spent the last 5 weeks of the 22 season in LA, starting four games in place of injured starter Matthew Stafford. Cohen was the Rams' offensive coordinator in 2022, replacing Kevin O'Connell, who left to become the Vikings' offensive coordinator. One of the things that the Bucs were hoping to avoid with Dave Canales' replacement was having to break in a rookie play caller all over again. The Bucs did interview several candidates that did not have any previous play calling experience, but former Browns OC Alex Van Pelt, former Eagles OC Brian Johnson, and Kentucky OC Liam Cohen did have experience calling plays. Cohen called plays for the Wildcats in 2021 and 23, working with QBs Will Levis and Dennis Leary. Kentucky averaged 29.1 points per game last year, which ranked 58th. I believe you said that already. In 2021, the Wildcats offense averaged 32.3, ranked 36th out of 133 FBS schools. Last but not least, Liam Cohen can help with the Buccaneers' 2024 draft prep. The fact that Liam Cohen spent two recent years in the college ranks at an SEC school like Kentucky can also help the Bucs with their draft preparation. The Kentucky Wildcats have a few prospects this year, led by running back Ray Davis, who ran for 1,129 yards and 14 touchdowns while averaging 5.7 yards per carry in his lone season at Kentucky. Kentucky linebacker Trevin Wallace, who also had a solid week at the Senior Bowl this week, is considered to be an early day three prospect after his three-year career, where he produced 166 tackles, 18 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, 3 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. It's actually a pretty damn impressive season for a linebacker, coming off of his best season where he had 80 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, an interception, and a forced fumble for the 7-6 Wildcats. So the connections that this guy has within the SEC, the eye he has for talent, you also hope can be a factor when it comes draft time. The Bucs could be in the market, potentially a wide receiver, potentially a running back, potentially a linebacker. We have to wait and see how free agency shakes out. But according to Scott Reynolds, and you know, even better news for a lot of people who were not familiar with Liam Cohen before today, he's checking all the boxes, and that's exactly what you like to see.
Yeah, and you know, I do think the fact that, you know, he's coming from college, right? And he's gotten a closer look. And look, I know the Bucs scouts and everything have been working on this the entire year for sure. But it's just another perspective, you know, a coach's perspective that, especially, you know, playing in Kentucky, you're not playing in some, you know, random division. Like, you're playing against some big schools there. And it's like some of the biggest in the nation. And, you know, you're going up against NFL quality talent, and you're able to see, you know, their weaknesses, their strengths. And I do think that they, I do think that they could use that perspective on things of, okay, you know, what do you think of this guy? Well, you know, this and this. So I do think that's a bonus, you know, like, it's a good point to bring up that he could help there with the draft, just to give some more input. You know, I think GMs and scouts are always looking for more input, you know, and trying to find and gather as much information as they possibly can. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, yeah, Ray Davis definitely could be a guy that if the Bucs wanted to find a compliment to Rashad White, another guy, I mean, Cam Akers is a possibility. He was in LA with Cohen for a little bit. So, I mean, I know he's injured right now. He had a pretty serious injury. I'm not sure if he's going to be 100% ready for the season, but we will see. I believe the Bucs might have had some interest in Cam Akers before when the Rams traded him to the Vikings, but we will see. And I do think that, and I'll look at some free agents and stuff and make some connections there. But yeah, the connections that you mentioned that Cohen may have in the college ranks, I think may actually be an interesting little addition here for the Bucs.
Another member of that Sean McVay coaching tree lands a job, and this time it is the newest offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know it was a short show today, but an emergency podcast. Just wanted to get you guys up to speed on what this guy brings to the table and what exactly to expect from the Buccaneers offense. And I mean, even what this means for free agents potentially re-signing, who's going to be back. But I think with a move like this, it is 100% going to be one way or another. Baker Mayfield is your starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2024. Evan, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think they hired one of the best guys for the job. I really do. Wasn't crazy about Alex Van Pelt. Wasn't even crazy about Jake Peets. So I do think that they hired the, you know, and we'll see if they hired the right guy, right? I don't know if they hired the right guy. We'll be able to figure that out, you know, 10 months from now, whether they hired the right guy. But I do think there's some positives here. And look, I mean, it's one where Todd Bowles has to nail it again, you know, and he did it once. He can do it again, but it's easier said than done, you know, because he has to nail it. And if the offense doesn't, you know, if he doesn't nail it, Todd Bowles might be looking for another job. And, you know, we will wait and see. But I do like, you know, taking a chance on a guy because, if, like I said, eventually you do have to start somewhere in the NFL ranks, and he has experience calling plays in college. I'm curious to see how that translates to the NFL. So, I do think that they definitely have hired, you know, well, also from the right tree, right? That McVay tree. I think you're looking, you know, I mean, you find a lot of guys there, right? I mean, it's evident.
It's
a pretty impressive list.
It's evident the Bucs were hungry for some sort of fruit from that McVay tree, because Al Bundy brings it up in chat. The Bucs interviewed three offensive coaches from the LA Rams who have worked extensively with Sean McVay. So hopefully this pays off. And like you said, I think they got their guy. We'll find out if he's the right guy, but I think this is going to be a hire, kind of like Dave Canales, where as the months go by, it'll grow on people. You know, a lot of people were saying the same thing about Canales when the Bucs hired him from Seattle last season. They were like, who the hell is this guy? And then when he takes the Carolina job, you would have thought we just lost Bill Walsh from our offensive offensive staff. So I'm excited to see what happens, and I'm excited that the Bucs get to set their quarterback up for the stability he has yet to have at the NFL level.
Somewhat stability, I would say.
I mean, yeah.
Perfect stability would be, you know, Dave Canales is here. But, I think given the circumstances, they did probably the best they could. Given the circumstances that they were given, put in a tough spot, you know, really put in a tough spot. I don't think many people expected Dave Canales, even in that building, to get a head coaching job. I think they eventually knew that was coming, but eventually is the key word. I don't really think they thought that Dave Canales is going to be getting a head coaching job after just one season. So, I do think given the circumstances, given everything that went on, I do think they did, you know, the best job they could, and they feel that they've hired the best guy for the job. And I don't think they would have hired him if they didn't feel that Liam Cohen was the best guy for the job. So, definitely, like I said, definitely some positives here. We will have to wait and see. And, I do think though, this one sparks a bit more intrigue, a bit more optimism for me than a guy like Jake Peets or a guy like Alex Van Pelt would have. So I definitely think, like I said, time will tell. And I think the frustrating thing, though, is now after spending an entire offseason talking about, well, we don't know exactly what this offense is going to be, so it's hard to predict. We have a sort of an idea of what this offense is going to be, but at the same time, we kind of don't. And it would have been nice, obviously, to have that continuity where, like, you know what to expect out of Dave Canales. You know his tendencies. You know this. You know that. And now we're going to go through another offseason where you're like, yeah, the offense could be good, but it could also flame out, you know, because we don't exactly know 100% what's going to happen. So we will have to wait and see how it goes. But I do like the hire of Liam Cohen. Given the names that were out there that they interviewed, I do think he was one of, if not the best guy, you know, for the job.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the Bucs hired 9 different guys for this position.
They interviewed 9. Last year they interviewed 10 before landing on Dave Canales. This year they interviewed 9.
There it is. So the Buccaneers find their guy, Liam Cohen, the newest offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that's just about going to do it for this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out. At one point, we had almost 150 people on here for a short notice emergency podcast. Hopefully, we're able to bring you everything you need to know about the newest offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. Find the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show and, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens, just like this move today. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. You got anything going on this week?
Not really planned, but I may look at some free agents, maybe with some Liam Cohen connections or something, see what could be possible fits. So maybe I'll list three or four free agents there. So keep an eye out. I did just post, and we will have a video about this eventually, but I did just post the free agent priorities. So if you want to get a little sneak preview of what that video will be, you can go over to BucsNation.com right now and read that, but listing five guys and just sort of ranking them and what I would personally, you know, prioritize them in re-signing. So go check that out on BucsNation.com right now.
Also be on the lookout for more video content coming soon here on the Cannon Fire Podcast YouTube channel. We have started diving into position reviews with Evan and James, so be on the lookout for those videos dropping over the weekend and into next week, maybe even the week after that. We've got so much content going on for you guys, and it is an incredibly exciting time. Last but not least, you can find myself on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Rhetticus, Rhettt-Akus. If you follow me, I will follow you back, but that's the show. We will talk to you guys soon with more Tampa Bay Buccaneer news. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.